Hey guys, what's up? I'm Antonio Mount, so I'll be your host. You're listening to Stay 100 Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about everyday life and everyday situations. Also joining the show, he is my co-host, Larry Duncan.
Hey Antonio, how you doing this week, buddy?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Blessed to be here.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. Christmas is coming upon us, man. You ready?
Yes, sir. Ready for Christmas. A little stressed out.
Well, I think everybody is trying to get through the week.
Yeah, everybody is trying to get through the week. Got a lot going on with work and just Christmas presents. Like I told you earlier, my family just getting gift cards from me. They know that. Wow. They'll be listening. But they're okay with that. But everything's going good. How everything going to you?
Yeah, going well. You know, got most of the kids will be coming in, so the house is going to be full. Got all them coming down, and then my wife has to have surgery next week, so that's a little stressful, especially for her. She's worried about the kids coming in. She's got to have her arm in a sling for about 4 weeks, so she's not going to be able to do all the holiday baking and things.
She'll still be there, though.
But I was like, we can follow instructions. You can tell me what to do, and I'll do it. You know, we'll take care of it. We'll make it happen. So
right. God bless her, though. Bless your family, man. I'm glad everybody's safe and sound. They'll be able to join y'all.
Yeah.
I want to say we got a special guest in the business.
Yes, we do.
Jared K., what's up, bro?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I just want to share to the audience, anybody that's going to be listening to this podcast tonight or tomorrow, a lot of people don't know. I kind of heard about Jared about a year ago. It was some whispers in my ears, and that's why I had to get this guy on the show. I should have did it a year ago, but he is here today. So, Jared, I just want you to tell us a little bit about yourself and where you from, bro.
Yeah, man. So, I am a filmmaker / director. I'm originally from Lexington, Kentucky.
Go Big Blue.
Yes, absolutely. Go Big Blue, man. Cats by 90 all day, every day.
Definitely.
And I say that as I'm about to say that I went to Western.
Right. Of course. We all did.
Go Tops, man, forever. You know, you can root for both.
We had two sons that played lacrosse at UK. We've got a daughter at Louisville. We got one over at Murray. We got one at NKU. We got
it's Kentucky
for everybody.
It's Kentucky.
So did you grow up a UK fan, basically?
Yeah, I did. You know, okay. I'm more into like the NFL and stuff more than like college, but like you got to go for your hometown team, and it's Lexington. Like,
it's hard not to be a UK fan if you grew up in Lexington.
Yes, Lexington bleeds blue for
sure. They do.
Speaking of the devil, I did find out something about you. I did some research.
Oh yeah,
I seen that you're a Dallas Cowboy fan.
100%.
I was looking at doing my parlays the other day, and I was doing good, and I had Eagles over Cowboys, which I shouldn't have done that. And I seen you on Instagram, and I think Snapchat, you said, I forgot what you said. You said you love to see it. Jared's a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, it was the halftime.
Which they're good. I like the Cowboys. I ain't gonna lie. I'm an NFL fan just like you, man. But the Cowboys, they are rolling. I didn't expect them to win that game. I should have, though, because they played at home.
Boys whooped up on the Eagles, man. Yeah. They whooped up on them.
Yeah, they looking good. Dak is playing his butt off right now.
MVP.
CeeDee Lamb, oh my God.
Oh, that is like the best quarterback wide receiver duo right now. I will say that
Dak's up for the MVP. I was watching ESPN First Take with Stephen A. Smith this morning, and I seen that Dak is up for MVP right now. I think him and Brock Purdy.
And
somebody else.
You can make a strong case for
What's the guy's name? Miami.
Tua.
Tua, yeah.
Not Tua,
or Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill. He deserves to be in them three right there.
Yeah. No, especially if he can break Megatron's season receiving record.
But that Dolphin game the other night, Dolphin Titan game. I was watching the Dolphin Titan game, setting up my recliner. I was like, man, I'm gonna switch it over and watch the end of this Green Bay game because Miami's got this in the bag. I turned it over with 3 minutes left.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I was downstairs getting ready to go to bed, looked at my phone, and I was like, what the hell happened? How in the world did the Titans? I had to go back and watch it the next day.
Green Bay lost to the Giants. I know. They had the game won. It tripped me out.
As long as the Giants can beat the Eagles at least once these next couple of weeks, that'll help my Cowboys out. So that's what I'm going for.
So Cowboys, before we jump into everything about you, so the Cowboys, I just want to ask a few more questions because it's fun. We're all sports guys.
Exactly.
The Cowboys, are they second or third place in the NFC right now?
So
I know they're right.
We're top of the East right now. Mm-hmm. I guess technically we would be top of the NFC right now, if I'm not mistaken. Because we're tied with the Eagles, but technically we're still on top of the East.
Yeah.
So. Okay, I was just curious because I know they've been rolling. Like, I know Eagles going into the game was number one in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, I think I think at all wins, or I think they were number one like, NFL rankings.
Had the most wins,
but y'all knocked them off though. So
we sure did, man. We needed that. So if we can get this bye, it would be pretty hard because the Eagles would have to lose like to the Giants, and Cowboys would have to win out, and we got a pretty tough schedule with Bills, Dolphins.
That's
y'all can beat them though. And them are good teams. That's a gauntlet. Y'all got them though.
A hard remaining schedule, but I think we can do it.
Yeah, y'all stay focused. Keep doing. And I like Mike McCarthy. I like what he's doing. He's offensive coordinator right now.
He's head coach, and technically, they don't have an OC,
I'm telling you, Cowboys, they're going to be my dark horse. I'm watching out for them right now.
Yeah.
So let's jump into it though, man. Let's talk a little bit about your, what you do with film and producing and everything. So let's jump into that and how you got started with it.
Yeah, for sure. So like I said, I'm from Lexington, but I came to Western, graduated with a film degree and an advertising degree, as my majors. I didn't apply to any other school in Kentucky because I knew I wanted to go to Western. They had my film program, and I didn't want to go to UK just because that's where I went to high school. And you want to get away.
You want to get away. So many kids, all our kids, wanted to get a couple hours away.
Yeah.
I have so many passengers there from Louisville or Nashville or Lexington or, you know, a couple hours away.
Yeah, and it's nice to be close to home, but far enough away.
Exactly. You don't want the parents dropping in, but if there's an emergency, they can get something to you in a couple hours.
Exactly.
You
know? And still
just the perfect
distance. See them on the holidays.
Exactly.
And stuff like that. Yeah. But that's why I went to Western. And right now I do music videos. I do narrative content. And when I say narrative content, I mean like short films, documentary work, stuff like that. Anything that's kind of telling a story.
Right.
Recently I've been getting into weddings a little bit, and, but music videos and narrative content and short films and stuff, that's my bread and butter. That's what I really like doing.
Right. And that's what I noticed right off the bat, man, about you, Jared. Short films, producing, everything. I seen all these videos on your Instagram. Like I said, I had already heard about you. And somebody, like I said, I still can't remember to this day, but I know it was about a year ago. And once I had the chance, and I said, I got to get this guy on the show. And then I went back to your Instagram. You are super talented.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? I see a lot of stuff you're doing, and a lot of stuff I like that you're doing. I want to kind of like touch on what you're doing in the community. Have you done a lot of things in the community too? I know you got this, what do you got going this week?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about that. Yeah. So, this upcoming Tuesday, December 19th at 6 p.m. at the Capitol Theater in Bowling Green. I have
downtown
Bowling Green, downtown BG. I have a documentary called The Daryl Carrier Story. And it's basically Daryl Carrier. He's a WKU ABA Kentucky Colonels legend. He's 83 years old. He's still doing great. He looks awesome. He's still looks great. He can still shoot. He's a baller still. He can still get in the rim. And it's just kind of telling his story. And we have a lot of people from Western and from the community speaking on his behalf. Yeah. You know, we got Dr. Ransdell. He's the former president of WKU. Mm-hmm. Got Randy Lee.
Yeah.
Jim Richards. He coached in 71 through 78. Mm-hmm. And then Coach Stansberry.
Stansberry?
Yeah. So they all kind of talk about how they saw Daryl growing up, what they knew about the ABA. And they were able to shed some light on stuff that like my age group doesn't really know much about, because you know, we know so much about the NBA, but you know,
modern.
But you know, when it comes to ABA, like that's something that before this documentary I really knew nothing about.
Yeah.
And it's just cool like being able to kind of shed some light on that. And I think that people that were around for it that time will get a lot out of the documentary, because they'll be able to reflect and remember, you know, the good times.
Yeah,
and
like you said, you talk to kids today and they're like, AB what?
Yeah, no, exactly.
They have no idea what that is. So how did you develop an interest in Daryl specifically?
Yeah, so I actually am good friends with Daryl's son, Jonathan.
Okay.
Me and Jonathan, we go way back. It all started when I needed like a location for a short film, and I was doing some research on like Airbnb and stuff, and found one of the Airbnbs that he rented out, and that's just how I got to know him. Okay. And we became good friends, and he helps me out with my projects with like locations, and he makes music, so I help him out with like a little music video or something.
There
you
go.
So
barter system.
Yeah, friends helping out friends, and
good deal.
And then of course his father is Daryl Carrier, and he said, man, you know, like I really want to tell my dad's story, and I want something that my family, you know, my nephews, you know, my kids, my grandkids, what have you, like in the future, they can watch this documentary. Yeah. And this is my grandpa. And so it kind of started off as like a family heirloom.
Yeah.
I was working at WKU PBS at the time. And so, you know, they helped with production basically and getting the equipment. And so, yeah. And now they're helping me, you know, promote the show locally and showing it at the Capitol. So yeah, that's kind of how it started off.
Very cool.
And so we go through him growing up on the farm, just being like a Kentucky farm boy, mm-hmm. to getting into the ABA, Pan American Games, and then
right.
even to where he is now, you know, and what he did after basketball.
Because that's impressive. That's
yeah,
impressive.
And that's something that, you know, people, it isn't really spoken a lot about professional athletes, you know, what happens when you get out of the NBA or the NFL.
Yeah, unless they become like an announcer or something like that, they just kind of fall off the map for the most part. And you don't know what happens to them.
Exactly. Especially if they're, you know, kind of like a role player, mm-hmm. maybe, you know, they're not like Tom Brady or something right, like yeah, that. Yeah. You know, these big name people, you know, sure. their career ends and they got to figure out what to do after that. And I think Daryl, he really made it work for himself. So I think, you know, athletes, student athletes and maybe even professional athletes could maybe gain something from what Daryl has to say. So,
oh, that's fantastic. Sounds like it was a very interesting project, and
yeah,
highly encourage people to come watch that next Tuesday.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a fun time. Tickets are free. So yeah, be there Tuesday.
If it's everybody's 19th. Budget, you know, everybody.
December 19th, you say Tuesday at the Capitol downtown BG.
At 6 p.m. Yep. And then we'll have a Q&A with me and Daryl at the end. And Randy Lee, he just told me that he will be there and right. he'll be able to answer questions.
So let's confirm. Okay. He'll be there.
Randy Lee will be there. Yes.
So you work for PBS at
WKU? Yes. For yeah. When I was a student, I worked at WKU.
So Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to play cards with Josh. Well, him and John Doss and okay. Josh, we all used to play poker together. So,
oh yeah, yes, I know Josh very well. Yep. Oh yeah,
yeah. I went up to see that documentary that he helped.
Oh yeah, what a great documentary. Yeah, that's very powerful. Yeah,
it was very good.
Oh yeah,
cool.
So, kind of talk about, man, when you first started, what was your experience like at WKU? You know, I know you came here for film and all that.
Yeah,
how'd you know? Kind of like drop back and kind of how'd you know that you wanted to come here for that specifically? And what was your experience like at WKU while being here?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. In high school, I think a lot of people in high school kind of struggle with like, oh, where do I go now? Like, well, I guess I'm going to college, but you know, what am I going to do in college? And I always knew I wanted to do film, and because that's really what I wanted to do is tell stories and make movies. And so that's what brought me to Western. And we have a great film program here. And like I said, it's like the only actual film major in Kentucky, and they do a really good job there. And so, you know, when I'm as a freshman, sophomore, kind of figuring it all out and just kind of figured out like, yeah, this is definitely what I want to do. And then, of course, working with WKU PBS, that provided a whole other, because that's broadcasting. Right. PBS is broadcasting. You're right. Shooting football games, right. basketball games. Yeah. And that's a totally different world than film.
Right.
I mean, just the way like it's the setup is, or, you know, just broadcasting a live show rather than, you know, you light something, you spend an hour shooting it, move on to the next shot, perfect the lighting, and then you all put it in, and then you have time to sit down on a computer and put mm-hmm. it all together. But
yeah, that's night and day, isn't it?
Oh, it's crazy. And like from the outside perspective, it kind of seems like it's the same thing, yeah. but oh, it's totally different. So I think that gave me a good, like, well-rounded experience, mm-hmm. I would say.
Yeah.
So, but I personally, I like film more than broadcasting.
Right, just, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Making art, because like broadcasting to me is kind of like communicating information, you know? Mm-hmm. You can only be so artistic with a football broadcast, you know?
See, sure. That's why, like we had the girl that came on the show, Allison, was on the last episode, and I kind of told her the same thing. So when I first went to Western, I wanted to do broadcasting journalism, but I switched over to communication studies.
Mm.
That was my major. It was more fit for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even though broadcasting journalism, that's great.
Yeah.
But communication studies was just more for me. You know what I'm saying? Somebody told me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't know much about it, but I went to the FAC mm-hmm. building and I got some information on it. And I said, yeah, this is what I want my major to be. This is what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
So that's how I kind of got into that. So I kind of understand where you're coming from when you said that.
Yeah. And that's what college is all about. You know, sometimes you go in with one idea, but like ultimately, like you figure it out,
right,
you figure it out or you don't. So
what motivates you, man? What motivates you, to get up every day and do what you're doing?
Man, well, I, you know, motivation can be tough. You know, not every day you want to get up and do it. And like, you know, I don't, you know, every day I'm not always working, like, but what I try to maintain is consistency and stuff. And like, I think the driving factor of that is just wanting to make good work, you know, mm-hmm. always wanting to level up and try something different. You know, you don't want to keep doing the same thing all the time. You want to keep it fresh. And I think that, that's kind of what keeps artists going. But yeah, man, I love working with artists. I work with mostly rappers, and I think like the rap community in Kentucky as a whole, you mm-hmm. know, especially like in Louisville. And
yeah, you've done a lot of short films and stuff and videos in Louisville, right? You're telling me that.
Yeah, a lot. I work with a lot of Louisville artists. Like I was saying, like the community there is really good. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking about Jack Harlow or ESTG. I mean, they're the big
names. I'm surprised you ain't got with them yet.
Oh, one day. It's coming. One day. No, they're awesome. Yeah, I love their music.
Yeah, me too.
But just that kind of up and coming artist community is really strong right now, and yeah, I hope people get more tapped in, as you know, as they should be.
When you're working on your individual projects, like mm-hmm. your short films, where do you get your inspirations, or do you have like a creative process when you're trying to come up with a new project?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Just creative process. So sometimes it's just going for it. It's just getting an outline, and then you got to write the script. You know, so many people are like, where do I start, or how do I, but you just got to write the script. You can't make a movie without a script. And, you know, it's not going to be perfect the first time, but you want to get your words on a page.
Yeah. First. Get you the can idea. Always revise it exactly. and change it around and subtract.
Exactly.
It.
And, you know, same with editing, you mm-hmm. know, editing audio or editing a video.
Like sure.
You have to have something, and then you can refine it later. But man, you know, like, I would call myself a producer and director because that's what I do a lot of. I like to write a lot, but I don't do it consistently, you know? And mm-hmm. I think to be something if you do something, you are that. But I think if you want to like call yourself that as like a profession, you got to do it consistently. So I do enjoy writing a lot, but something that I would like to be more consistent in. Usually I have an idea, I write it, and then I go film it and I go make it. I don't like really usually have like stacks of unfilmed scripts usually, but yeah, I guess that's a little insight to the creative process.
Cool, very cool.
That's what's up, man. That's the one thing about this show, man. We get a lot of different people mm-hmm. come here just to do what they want to do with their different careers. So that, like I said, man, we always just have like many things that happen like that. So
yeah,
kind of talk about, I know we talked about your experience at Western and everything. Kind of talk about what do you have going on in the, like next, like any kind mm-hmm. of up and coming projects, films, videos, what's going on right now? What are you busy with a lot right nowadays?
So right now, it's a lot of like year end wrap up stuff. So I have like 5 or 6 edits that I need to complete by the end of the year, music videos, weddings, stuff like that. Just kind of knocking the edits out. But also, you know, got the Daryl Carrier documentary coming out, and that will be on public television here in the Bowling Green area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sometime after the premiere, I think a date will be announced at the screening. So that's something that people can catch on TV as well, which will be pretty cool. And then, yeah, just music videos for next year. Always working with artists and talking and discussing, you know, what's the next video? What do we want to do for this? Maybe I'm writing like a concept / treatment for them, like if it's a bigger budget video. And then, yeah, I think, you know, winter break is approaching, and I got some time off from work. So I think it's time to just sit down and write a script like we were talking about, even if it's just the words on the page, just getting something down, because I got ideas. And, you know, sometimes you get so busy within the process and, you know, being on a film festival run or, you know, publicizing or promoting your work or editing that you can't creatively like go to the next project quite yet, because you're kind of playing catch up. You're doing like business, you know.
And I'm sure you're like very busy all the time, because I remember you telling me the other day when we were over there hanging out at Prev, I remember you saying something like, man, I just been doing a lot of editing.
Mm-hmm.
Does that take up a lot of time in your career, like what the stuff you got going on?
Yeah, no, that's actually a good point, because like I would call myself a director, right? I would never really call myself or brand myself as an editor. But that is like,
it is part, a large part of it.
That is like all I do pretty much. You know, it's like 80% of what I do, because editing takes a lot of time and thought. And, you know, sometimes depending on the project, you know, cut something together pretty quick. But, you know, with music videos, it can be, you know, here or there, like how fast you can edit it. You know, what are you doing with the edit? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, editing, because when you complete a project, it's not done. You got to edit it. You know, as much as I would love to just be like, yes, we filmed it. It's done. No, yeah, you got to cut it together.
People don't know that from the outside looking in. They don't know that. That's what I try to tell them. Yeah. Because a lot of times we do podcasting, they'll see you come on the show. They think they would just drop it right. Like, no, you got to edit it. You got to make sure it's right. You got to get knocked. You got to knock out any kind of sounds. Somebody might slip and say the wrong word or any kind of noise out. And a lot of people don't know that. They just know from what they see. You know what I'm saying?
They just think it's magic.
Yeah. I tell everybody, however long the podcast was, you know, it's going to take at least 3 to 5 times that long to edit it.
Yeah.
And you know, because you're backing up and taking stuff out, and you back it up and listen how that sounds. And you know, by the time you're done editing, you've heard the podcast, you know, 10 times at least, you know, when you get through it. So, people just think, oh, it's done, and throw it out there and it's all good.
Not quite.
You know? Not if you want quality work. I mean, exactly. You can just throw it out there, but you know.
And I always say, this game ain't for everybody. you know, because what you do, it ain't for everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right.
I always say that quote. Yeah. And that's what I mean, because a lot of people say, man, I want to do podcasting. And I tell them, it's easy to start a podcast.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of work you put into it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you got to do the if you're out there like how we do, you got to do the marketing. You got to get people on the show. You got to schedule. You know what I'm saying? It comes with the equipment. You know what I'm saying? Everything. It's a lot that comes. Like you said, the editing part, you know, you want to make sure the show notes are good. It's a lot that comes with this game. You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
Same as yours, you know, so.
And videos even more.
The video.
Yeah. No, it takes time. It looks simple when we present it, the final product, you know, but it's, like you said, there's a lot that goes into it that people don't even take into consideration sometimes.
And you know, that's the mark of a good editor, is that it looks easy. You know, it looks good. People are like, oh, you don't even notice that.
Exactly. And that's good editing when you don't notice it, you know.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
I wanted to ask you, so do you have like, okay, is it just you, or do you have like a team? Do you work with other people too?
Yeah, so it's just me, but like the thing with being a freelancer in this industry is like you meet a ton of people. And so every time you meet someone or you like working with someone, you know, you put their name in your back pocket or you get their contact information, follow them on Instagram or something. You're always building like a crew. You know, you don't have to have people on payroll to be a part of your crew. Like, you can do it on a project by project basis. You know, this person would be a good fit for this project. I'll reach out to them or something. And that's how in this industry you get jobs and you meet people is just by putting in the work and just putting yourself out there, introducing yourself, making sure people know your name, and you know, getting their information, because we're all here to help each other and put each other on with passion projects or paid work, you know, whatever it is. So, yeah.
That's another thing, what you just basically said. I stay, like a lot of people that we've had come on the show, I stay in contact with a lot of them.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, a lot of them want to come back.
Yeah.
A lot of them. I'm talking about a lot. I stay in contact with all of them. I don't always talk to them every week or every two weeks. Sometimes I hear from some of them, or I reach out to them every couple months. But believe me, a lot of people still reach out. They ask how Larry is or what y'all been up to.
And nice.
They keep up with everything. So, like, I kind of get what you're saying when you say it's just not one person. It takes a team. It takes a lot of watchers, people, you know, a lot of people that just interested, you know. So
100%.
I definitely got what you were saying right there, man. So I just wanted to see what you had to say about that.
Yeah.
So if you have some, you know, if somebody is younger and has this idea that they want to get involved in film producing or editing or any kind of similar things that you do, what kind of suggestions would you have for them, you know, as they're coming up through, say, elementary, high school age?
Yeah. So, you know, when you're young, that's the time. And I tell students at Western in the film major this, if I speak to them, or, you know, I was a student teacher at one point and I would tell them this. But, you know, when you're in school, whether it's high school or college, you are there to make stuff. You're there to meet people. So when you're coming up, you need to be making stuff, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have to be good. You know, yeah. you don't want to be a perfectionist. You want to just make something, because if you've never made something before, the first thing you're going to make, it's probably going to be crap.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You can't, everybody's first try at stuff is going to be terrible, but that's what we always say. You can't get to the 10th one until you've done the first 9.
Exactly.
You're going to get better.
Exactly.
You know, nobody's perfect at this when they start out. So yeah, you got to just take that first step, which is so scary
for
people to do their first project, whether it's a video or your first episode of a podcast or your first anything.
Yeah.
But just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it and get it done, and then you can move on and get better.
Yeah. And I think that's what it boils down to, is just doing it. Just make something, just write it, just shoot it, and then keep doing it. Consistency is important too, mm-hmm. because that's how you build your skills. That's how you get better and figure out what you like or don't like, or what you can improve on. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that'd be the main piece of advice, is just find people. And sometimes it's hard to find people that have the same interests as you. I know when I was in high school, I kind of had to like drag people, man, come on, act in this short film for me, man, please, come on. Like, but you know, like, that's why I really enjoyed going to school, because that's kind of what you're paying for, is networking, you know?
Yeah, you're getting together with people who have similar mindsets, similar interests, similar hobbies, and you know, they're wanting to create things too. It's like, hey, you be in my film, I'll be in your film, or, you know,
yeah, things exactly. like that.
And you are with a group of, you know, like-minded people.
Yeah, and school is a great place to meet people, but I would also say, you know, you don't have to go to school to meet people. If you know you want to do film and say, you know, maybe college isn't right for you, or mm-hmm. you know, you don't like school, or maybe it's like more like a financial thing, you know, that's totally fine. You can still make it work.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of good resources to learn from these days, you know, YouTube University.
Yeah.
You know, we're all graduates of YouTube University.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
But yeah, you know, even Facebook, there's a lot of Kentucky film Facebook groups where if you need crew or actors, you know, that's a great place to reach out.
I see a lot of stuff also on, just to capitalize on that, on Twitter too, Instagram.
Yeah.
TikTok is getting huge for it's got a lot of information for people, whatever your career is.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of stuff like that.
So yeah. It's never been easier to learn.
Especially for creative people, whether it's audio or video or things like that. I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, there, you know, for pre-internet, when there, you know, there wasn't a lot of outlets. If you wanted to be,
there was a time before the internet.
I know, isn't that crazy?
What?
The Stone Age. and they're really, I feel for people back then who had, you know, the more creative bent.
Yeah.
Because there, I mean, it wasn't like, before people had, you know, handheld video cameras.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there wasn't a lot of opportunity there.
You're
unless
right.
you went to school and got into a film program. That was the only way you're ever going to film anything. And now everybody's got, you know, a camera in their hand.
Yeah. It's never been easier. So
the barrier to entry has become so low. That the only thing holding you back is your own fear.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I could see how maybe some people might think that the barrier of entry being so low is maybe a bad thing. Yeah. But I don't think it is, because, I mean, that's just, it's more opportunity for people to do what they want to do. And nowadays, like, everyone's a content creator. Yeah. Like,
everybody.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't know how to shoot and edit on your phone, like,
it's easy.
Yeah, it's easy. Everyone knows how to do it for the most part. You can do it. And it's like, you know, we're all our little filmmakers. We're our own little filmmakers, mm-hmm. I guess, you know? So it's just a crazy world we live in, man. Yeah, it's not like you have to be in film school in the 70s, like you're Martin Scorsese, and you right. that's the only way you can get
a
camera.
You used to do all that stuff.
Just think about being a photographer 30 years ago. You had to buy film. You couldn't just go out and shoot 800 shots and keep the two that were good.
No, exactly.
You know, it cost you a fortune.
So. Yeah, and if you didn't get the pictures right, I mean,
exactly.
you're screwed, yeah.
Yep, and that's true. So, yeah.
Thank God for the digital age, man.
Exactly. It's been neat to see, to live through all that and see how things have changed over the years.
Yeah.
There's, like I said, YouTube University. You can learn anything on there nowadays.
Yeah. 100%.
It just look it up. Something wrong with your car, look it up. You know, your dishwasher or your washing machine's not working right, you can look up how to
fix it. Up.
Exactly. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I think everything used to be Google. I mean, it still is Google. Yeah. Google something, you know what I'm saying? Now it's YouTube, Google something. Still a power. A power.
It's the internet. Yeah, power of the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the top questions we always ask, man, that's a very good question towards the end of the show is where you see yourself in the next 5 years and what you going to be doing? Do you have any plans, ambition? What's the goal for Jared K in the next 5 years?
Man, that's a good question, man. I try to think about my future as less as possible.
Live in the moment, right?
It is, bro. I know.
No, but, you know, I really do like what I'm doing now. I would just like to, you know, take it to the next level, you know, with music videos, you know. I love running gun videos and I love the artists I work with. But you know, I would love to work with an artist who maybe has like a budget or like an investor where I'm able to hire out a big crew. We're able to build sets, you know, really take a lot of time to plan out and build what we're going to make.
Right.
Cause sometimes, you know, these music videos, they're so run and gun. Sometimes it's hard to, and you're doing it for, to be frank, like pretty cheaply, which is fine. Cause that's kind of what the market is, right? But yeah, just, you know, working with bigger artists and bigger budgets would be awesome. I would love to, you know, work with artists that I grew up listening to or that I liked to listen to currently. When it comes to short films, just bringing up that production quality, you know, every, like we were kind of talking about earlier, you know, the more you make, the better you get. Mm-hmm. And so I can see that, like the more I make and the more right people I have on the project, the more it's kind of like okay, and you know, that's a movie, you know,
you're networking, so you'll
yeah,
for sure,
and you're always meeting people. Yeah. And just really trying to make as many creative, you know, short films or short docs as possible, because like I said, that's what I really like doing. And just keep on doing the music videos and stuff. Like I said, the community here is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. So I think Kentucky in general, but you know, especially like Louisville, Lexington, the mm-hmm. bigger cities.
You ever do any work in, but I wanted to ask you, I should ask you earlier, do you ever do any work in Nashville by any chance?
Not really. Like music videos and stuff. Right. I've been there a couple times for, you know, maybe one or two music videos mm-hmm. with like kind of like independent or like local artists. Mm-hmm. PA production assistant work on like music videos and stuff okay. for other companies. But no, I don't do a whole lot of work in Nashville. I do okay. like Nashville. I don't know if I would want to live in Nashville. I just don't know if it's really my.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I love Nashville. It's awesome.
It's a great place to visit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's, I know a lot of people that do a lot of, that work a lot and do a lot of good work there. But man, I love Kentucky.
Right.
I love Kentucky, man.
I got you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I'll ever leave the South, to be honest. You know, I might. Yeah, you know, I like Atlanta a lot. Yeah. That's a oh, yeah. big production hub yeah. for film and television.
Oh, for sure.
And music too, man. Yeah. I mean, the Atlanta.
They call it the small yeah. Hollywood.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
It's getting
exactly.
bigger and bigger. A lot it of is. Things happening. So
Tyler Perry just built his studio yep. there. I mean, yep. that's huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just so huge. But yeah, I love the South. I love Kentucky. So, you know, I don't know if LA, like something big or crazy would have to happen for me to go to like LA.
Right.
And man, they're expensive too. Yeah.
I already know. I've been out west a few times. I already know. It's yep. expensive.
Oh, yeah.
I try to tell people. They don't believe me. I said, go see. You'll see. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Crazy expensive out there. So I like to ask some kind of different questions sometimes, too. So is mm-hmm. what's something that that say most people, even people who know you, what's something that most people don't probably know about you, but you would like them to?
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. I'm an open book most of the time. Right. So that's tough.
Oh
gosh!
If you ain't got nothing, I'll go with something else.
Yeah, so Larry, that's a tough question.
What's one of the best pieces of advice that some people have given you?
Oh man, one of the best pieces of advice, man. I feel like I kind of spew out the advice that people give me. Like yeah. it just kind of they give me advice, and I'm like, oh, that's good. I'm gonna tell other people that. But yeah, just like working, being consistent. Mm-hmm. Hustling, you know, if you got a dream and you got goals, like you need to make sure that you're putting forth the effort. Here's a good one. I have a sign in my room. The sign says you can't have a $1 million dream without a $1 work ethic.
Exactly.
Can't have a $1 million dream with a $1 work ethic.
Exactly. Yeah. And we talk a lot about, we were talking earlier about motivation. We ask you what motivates you. And you're like, yeah, you know, sometimes we're not motivated. We talk a lot about the difference between motivation and discipline. Because motivate, you can wake up and be all motivated and do stuff. But you might wake up the next day, you don't feel like it, but you still have to have that discipline to go and do it.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. And I struggle with that too, you know, on a daily basis. Oh, yeah. Like, a lot of sometimes, like, I have to get the work done, so I got to do it. You know, like, maybe it's been a couple weeks since I shot it. They're expecting it at a certain time. You just got to do it so you meet that deadline.
Exactly.
But, yeah, discipline. That's really the key, Larry. That's really the key. Yeah, man. You gotta have a kind of a work ethic, and you gotta do it consistent. You gotta be consistent with that.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right. I think... And just to capitalize on that, good vision too.
Yeah.
You got to look straight. A lot of people, man, they ask me about advice and I always say, don't look backwards, look forward. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look at the vision.
I like that.
See, you know, just keep looking forward. You're going to see everything's going to come true.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to listen to wisdom. I always say, listen to wisdom. Cut people out that don't mean no good, and everything you desire will come true. So.
Yeah, no, I could totally agree with that, man. You can learn from the past, but yeah, you don't want to reflect on the past too much. You don't want to live in the past. You do want to look forward, and having a clear goal of what you want to do is important. I just want to be a podcaster. What do you want to do with it? What are your intentions?
Yeah. I've had tons of people ask that. They'd be like, hey. Yeah, you know, I'm in my car. We're talking about having a podcast. Like, oh man, I want to have a podcast. I've been wanting to. And I'm like, oh, what's it going to be about? I don't know.
Yeah,
okay, you don't want to have
a podcast. You just want to have a podcast.
Exactly. You just like the idea of people hearing your voice.
Man, I think a lot of people in general, whatever, like whether you're in the film community or the podcast community, whatever, like. Some people just like the idea of being something. The idea of being a filmmaker.
Or being able to say, I'm a filmmaker.
Yeah.
They don't want to do the work. They don't want all that other stuff. But they just want to be able to tell people, yeah, I'm a filmmaker.
Yeah.
A podcaster or, you know, I'm a whatever.
Exactly. they want the title.
Exactly.
You know, you gotta focus on the work first and everything else comes second.
Yeah. And along with that vision that he's talking about, you know, just you have to be intentional in life. So, you know, so many people just kind of drift through life going whichever way the waves take them.
Yeah.
And you're probably not going to hit your goal, whatever that is. If you're out in the ocean and there's a target, you set a target a mile away and you're just floating around the ocean, you're not going to hit that target. You're going to get blown all over the place. So,
yeah, well, that's a great metaphor.
Being intentional is very important, I think.
Yeah. Same with baby steps. You know, you can't expect to go from 0 to 100, you know, overnight. Yep. You know, it takes time.
Yeah. It ain't gonna work overnight.
No, it never. And if you go viral, like, you know, sometimes you see with like musicians, you know, they're young, they're 16, 17, whatever. They have a song that blows up and like they don't have the years of practice under their belt. Mm-hmm. That's why like going viral.
Yeah.
The fall off is just as like intense as like the come up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you never hear from them again.
Yeah, that one hit wonders. Yes. I mean, it happens all the time in this day and age, this TikTok era. You know, and so sometimes like it can be like disheartening to not. Maybe you have a couple years of work put in, and maybe you're not quite where you thought you'd be, but. You will probably be fine, and you'll be better off in the long run than other people that just like blew up. You know, you got to have that work, that mindset already kind of built.
Man, I just want to say, man, it's a pleasure having you on the show.
Jerry. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having you too, man. You done a great job. Like I said,
I've been hearing
about you for a while. I'm glad I was able to get you on the show. Me and Larry, we heard a lot of good things about you. Honored to have you on here, man. And I would just want to say, just keep doing what you're doing, and a lot's going to come true. And if you ever need any help, or you just give us a hand, or could give us a call, and we'd love to help you and work with you again, man.
Hey,
we'd love
to
have you on the show again, too. Awesome.
We can go act in some movies, can't we?
Yeah, I might have to be able to cook up a role for y'all or something. Yeah. Okay, crazy idea. All right, two podcasters.
Oh,
all
my
right.
gosh. There we go. That's a stretch.
There's a murder, okay? No, but Antonio, Larry, I really appreciate you guys having me.
Appreciate you too, man.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
I really hope everything at your premiere goes really well next week.
Thank you so much.
If there's any way I can get down there, I'd love to see it. Yeah. My wife has surgery the day before, so I'm not sure how it's going to go.
But if I don't
see it there, I will catch it on PBS for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
It'll
be on
sounds TV. Like a wonderful story,
YouTube,
man.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Thank you all so much. Stay 100.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That was Jared K. You listening to. I'm Antonio Mounsell.
Hey, I'm Larry Duncan. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. You listen to Stay 100 Podcast.